संपादयन्ति अविरतं तु अविरामवृता या वै स्थिता कृतफलं तत्कृतस्य नेत्री सा मे भवतु अनुदिनं वरदा भवानी जनम्यहं ध्रुवमिदं धृतकर्मपाशा मित्रे शत्रौ तु अभिशमं तव पद्मनेत्रम् स्वस्थि दुस्थि तु अवितस्तव हस्तपातः छायामृतस्तव दया तु अमृतश्च मातः मुञ्चन्तु मां न परमे शुभदृष्टयस्ति काम्बा शिवा मुक्वाग्रिननं मम हीनबुद्धे दुर्भ्यं विदुर्तुम् इव यामि जगद्विधातृम् चिन्तं श्रिया सुचरणं तु अभयप्रतिष्ठं सेवापरै अभिनुतं शरणं प्रपद्ये अम्बस्तोत्र बाय स्वामी विवेकानंद मे दि मदर ऑफ द यूनिवर्स हुज एक्टिविटी नोज नो पॉज इनसेसेंटली डिस्ट्रीब्यूटिंग द फ्रूट्स ऑफ एक्शंस डन guiding unceasingly all actions yet to come, bestow her boon of blessings on me, her child, forevermore. I realize, I know, that it is she who holds the ropes of karma in her hands. On friends and foe, thy lotus eyes fall alike. Ever thine animating touch brings fruit equally to the fortunate and the unfortunate. The shade of death and immortality, both these, O Mother, are thy grace. O Mother Supreme, may thy gracious face be ever turned away from me, thy child. Where art thou, O Mother? And while my words of praise, my understanding is so poor, it is like the desire to seize with my puny hands the sole supporter of the universe. So at thy blessed feet, which are contemplated by the goddess of fortune herself, which form the abode of fearlessness, which are worshipped by those devoted to service true, do I take refuge? This hymn was written by a person who is a non-dualist, a Vedantin. It shows the Vedanta which speaks too much about jnana. But it is not devoid of devotion. Devotion. Even Shankaracharya, the great teacher of Vedanta, wrote so many beautiful devotional hymns on various deities. What does Vedanta teach us? Vedanta teaches Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman. All duality, false, Maya. So Vedanta guides us to the path of illumination through knowledge. But dualistic Vedanta teaches us devotion. Love for God. This devotion and knowledge are not two different things. Quite often I say, if I do not know you, I cannot love you. And if I want to love you, I will have to know you. So this devotion and knowledge are essential in a spiritual life. Some people think that we shall understand God through the intellect. That path is very dry. You can get intellectual conviction. As Swami Vivekananda said, buddhi, intellect, is just like a sweeper. It sweeps the path, cleanses the path. It is the heart, devotion, moves, all motion comes from that emotion. So devotion is very important in spiritual life. Swamiji is praying the Divine Mother. Mother, the noose of karma is in your hands. We are tied by that noose. If you wish, you can release us from that bond of karma. The key is in your hands, which opens the gate of liberation. Without the grace of Mother, nobody can get in. Then he further says, in this world we find the duality, friend and foe, death and immortality, fortunate and unfortunate. But the Mother's that eyes on everyone, the sun shines on both good and bad. So the Divine Mother, the gracious Mother, she is the mother of all, both good and bad. As Holy Mother used to say, when you are in trouble, always think that you have a mother. So if we take refuge in Mother, Mother will protect us. How can we praise the infinite Mother? Our understanding is poor. There is a saying, Bamun Hue Chandhara. As a dwarf exchanges his hand to catch the moon. So when we try to glorify or eulogize God, we are like Bamon, dwarf. So what can we do? We can meditate on that God in our heart. As a dewdrop or a raindrop falls on the lotus leaf, we can get a glimpse of the infinite blue sky in that drop of water. Similarly, you know, if our heart is clean and pure, we can have glimpse of the infinite God, infinite Divine Mother. That Swamiji said, Mother, you are the abode of fearlessness. We worship Thee. We take refuge in Thee. Please bless us and remove the bondage so that we can attain immortality. Om. Sahana bhavatu, sahanau bhunaktu, sahabiriyam karavamahai, tejasvinavadhitamastu, mabidveshavahai, om shanti shanti shanti. May Brahman protect us, may he guide us, may he give us strength and right understanding, may love and harmony be with us all, om. Peace, peace, peace be unto you. Mary called today those who have come, they have genuine devotion for Vedanta. In our last class, one thing we could not finish it. The question arose that whether Shankha and Yoga school believe in the Vedas or not. So in India, there is two types of philosophy. Astik darshan, nastik darshan. Theistic philosophy, atheistic philosophy. So who are theist and who are atheist? That is the debate. There are three groups. Generally in India, we have, they call it Shara darshan, six types of philosophy. Shankha, Yoga, Kopila, developed the Shankha philosophy, Patanjali Yoga philosophy, Gautama Naya logics philosophy, Kanada Vaisheshika philosophy, Jaimini Purva Mimamsa ritualistic philosophy of the Vedas, and Vyasa the non-dualistic philosophy which we teach. So these six great teachers taught six kinds of philosophy. Three, they do not believe in the Vedas, the Buddhists, Jainas, and Charvakas. Charvakas means materialists. So these are the eight philosophical schools in front of us. So the question arose that who are theists and who are atheists? The criteria is, one school says, if you believe in the Vedas, then you are theist. And if you do not believe in Vedas, you are atheists. So these six schools believe in the Vedas. Shankha, Yoga, Naya, Vaisheshika, Uttar Mimamsa, Purva Mimamsa. These six schools believe in the Vedas. Buddhists do not believe in the Vedas. Jainas do not believe in the Vedas. They have their own philosophy, own scriptures. And Charvakas, they do not believe in the Vedas. Their philosophy is very simple. Eat, drink, and be merry. Don't worry about it. Just, if you do not have money, borrow from your friends, enjoy life, you will not have to come back to return the debt. That is their philosophy. Just enjoy. Hedonistic philosophy. Eat, drink, and be merry. The moment body will be burned, you will be dead, that's it. They only believe in one birth. Just we have come to this world to enjoy. That is the material. That we find most of the people in this world. Materialists. They don't care for anything else. Just keep your body in good shape, enjoy. That's all. They do not believe afterwards. They do not believe in God, nothing. Buddhists, they believe this, they believe in pratyaksha, one praman. Only sense perception, that is, I believe, which we can grasp through the senses, that's it. The Buddhists and Jainists, they believe they have pramanas, the evidence, two, pratyaksha anuman. Pratyaksha means perception, anuman means guess, inference. They believe in the two. And Shankha and Yoga, they believe three pramanas, perception, inference, and scripture. They believe in the Vedas. And Naya Vaisheshika, Naya believe in four pramanas, perception, inference, comparison, and shabda, scripture. Vaisheshika believes two, pratyaksha, perception, and inference. Shankha, three, and Vedanta, and they believe six kinds of pramanas. Do you know what I'm talking about? Listen what I'm talking about. Praman, anything in this world, you will have to prove it. Prove it. I want the proof. So they have six kinds of proofs. First proof is perception. The chair exists because I can see. I see a smoke at a distance, so I infer there is fire. My previous knowledge says where there is fire, there is. Where there is a smoke, there is fire. But I do not see the fire. I guess there is fire. That is called inference. One. Third, shabdo, sound, scripture, verbal testimony. What are the scriptures? The realization of the illumined souls. That is the scripture. The Vedas, Upanishads. They are the revelations of the scripture, of the seers, rishis. So they are true. They quote the scripture. The scripture says so. Another is upaman. Upaman is a comparison. I went to the zoo and saw an animal called gobaya. And I went to the forest, then I started to compare. This one and this one is the same, then this one must be gobaya. That is through comparison we get some knowledge, evidence, through comparison. Next, fifth is called orthapatti. Do you see this fat Devadatta? He does not eat at daytime. That means he eats at night. Otherwise, his fatness cannot be proved. Without food, you cannot get fat. You cannot be obese. The obesity depends upon a lot of food. He is big, so he does not eat at daytime. But that proves that he eats sometimes. Otherwise, he cannot be big. It is also proof. Another is anupalubdhi. Anupalubdhi means there is no jar on this floor. So it is in a negative way, non-apprehension. That is the way one can get, these six ways you can get the knowledge. Proof. I want proof. This is the way Vedanta works. Evidence. So what we are talking about, so some people believe the Vedas, so they think they are the theists. Those who do not believe in the Vedas, they are atheists. Vedas are the revelations, the truth which revealed to the seers of truth. Another school says, if you believe in God, then you are a theist. If you do not believe in God, you are an atheist. Look, what is the problem? Shankar philosophers do not believe in God. Mimamsa philosophers, they do not believe in God. But they are theists. Very interesting. And the school says, do you know what? Who is theist? What the atheist? The people, those who believe the afterlife, those who believe the karma and its result, they are theists. In that respect, Buddhists are theists because they do not believe, they believe in karma, they believe the result of karma, and they believe afterlife. But they do not believe in God, they do not believe in Vedas. Very interesting how these things go. So our conclusion is, the Shankha and Yoga are theists. They believe in the Vedas. In between there are many arguments that there, I shall not go in there. They have a beautiful chart that who believe in God, who do not believe in God. Anyhow, we shall now go to our Panchadoshi. The lamp of light, the lamp of the picture of lamp. That is the way. Chitra. We finished up to 220, so we have 223. You remember, don't forget my picture. The author, Vidyarana Muni, an illumined soul, he depicted this world as a picture. This world is a stage. We are all actors and actresses We are all acting. There is a saying, a good dancer does not blame the stage. Only bad dancer, they blame the stage. So the world is a place, we are all acting. If you act well, you are a good dancer or a good actor. So let us act well. So he gave this illustration, this world. Do you see? When you go to the movie, you see heavy rain, you see fire, you see murder. All you see on the screen. But the screen is not white. Screen doesn't burn. There is no blood in the screen. You just saw there the murder there. That screen is Brahman. And all these things are going on, murder, rain, all these things, they're all projection on this Brahman. But behind is the movie projector is there, and here is the real, continuously it is feeding and going to the on screen. Try to visualize this way, this world. He says this, only the screen is not enough. If you want to be a painter, over the screen you will have to do, on the cloth you will have to put some kind of starch. Then you can draw with a pencil, head, eyes, nose. Then you can put paint. Then you get a painting. That is the way it works. So the plain cloth is Brahman and that starch is Ishvara. And the drawings are subtle creation, subtle body. And the paint is the Guru's body. Try to visualize this way. Painting. Anadi Maya, verse 23. Anadi Maya ya Bhranta, Jiveshu Subilakshanau, Mannante Tad Buddhasaya, Kevalam Shodhanam Tayo. Influenced by the beginningless Maya, people think that Jiva and Ishvara are totally different from each other. In order to eliminate this erroneous belief, that Vedantin inquires into the meaning of that and thou. Are we different from God, separate from God? That is the question. You see, when the Guru gives instruction to you, Tattamushi, you are Brahman, that doesn't mean that your body is Brahman. It is the consciousness in your body. That is Brahman. That consciousness is God. Vedantic God is impersonal. Sat, existence. Chit, consciousness. Bliss, ananda. Bliss, that is God. Existence, consciousness, bliss. All right. Your teacher says, do you exist? Yes. Nobody denies his or her own existence. We know we exist. All right, you exist like a piece of a stone all through your life? Oh, no, no, no. I do not like to be a piece of a stone. I want to be conscious so that I can feel, I can love. All right. If you have your existence, if you have your consciousness, I shall tie your hands and feet and keep you in dungeon. Oh no, I want freedom. I want bliss. So these three things are inherent in every human being. Always remember, you exist, you are conscious, and you want bliss in your life. That is God. You know, when we talk about this God, this Vedantic concept, it makes sense. It makes sense. I exist, I am conscious, I want bliss. So he was talking about Tat and Tam. Tat means the thing which is far away. And Tvam means you, here. So this person, these few, you, are God. Your guru says, you are God. That means Jetananda is a bhaji, Jetananda, this is God. He said, no, please try to understand how it works. It is not the word meaning, it is the indicative meaning. What is the word meaning and indicative meaning? If I say St. Louis is on the Mississippi River, how do you get the word meaning? St. Louis city is floating on the water of Mississippi River. That you understand. St. Louis is on the Mississippi River. No? So Lakshana, indicative meaning is St. Louis city is on the bank of Mississippi River. That is the meaning we get. We do not see, we cannot imagine that city is floating on the river. That is called Lakshana, indicative meaning. When Guru says you are Brahman, it is indicating not that your body is Brahman, the consciousness which is within you, that is Brahman. Very interesting. And that you see, our bodies are changing, our minds are changing, our sense organs are changing, but one thing does not change in the human system, that consciousness. That pure consciousness is within us, it never changes. That is the unchanging reality. That is your true nature. That you will have to realize that I am that I am. This is the most interesting and most important thing in Vedanta philosophy. Who am I? I'm a man or a woman, or American or Indian. These are all superimpositions on the Atman. Swami Vivekananda in one lecture mentioned, Madam, why are you limiting your infinite nature? You are the Atman. You are the infinite. You are not an American. You are the Atman. But how can I get that knowledge? There Vedanta comes forward. Remember last Sunday I gave that lecture? Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana. Hearing, reflecting, and meditating. That is the way you can de-hypnotize yourself. You can realize your true self. So who is responsible for all this mess? Maya. Ignorance. Maya. What does Maya do? It makes the impossible possible, possible impossible, all sorts of things are in the domain of Maya. Maya, actually, yati anena iti Maya. Maya limits your infinite nature. It covers your Atman with the first one sheath, they call it blissful sheath. Then another covering, intellectual sheath. Another covering, mental sheath. Another covering, vital sheath. Another covering, physical sheath. So we are all buried by five sheaths of the soul. What we are supposed to do? Remove the sheaths that you will have to do. And I will have to do myself. Each one will have to do yourself. Guru will tell you how to do it. Guru can cook food for you, but you will have to eat it. I cannot eat for you. You will have to put food into your own mouth. That is the way Vedanta works. You will have to work. But Guru will supply all of your food, all the necessity. Very practical philosophy. He avidya, ignorance. Is creating all the divisions, multiplicity, diversity. Bahutte kotte, unity in diversity. When you have this unity of knowledge, do you know what will happen? You cannot hate anybody in this world. Whom will you hate? That person is Brahman, God. A God does not hate God. Tato na tatra ko moha ka shoka. Where there is shoka, grief, where there is moha, delusion, when you see one. This knowledge of oneness is the basic thing of Vedanta philosophy. And if you know one, you know everything. If you know gold, you know all modifications of gold. Earring, nose ring, necklace, bracelet, all nothing but gold. Melt them, it will be a lump of gold. But we say necklace, no, ear ring, you know, all these names we are giving in your jewelry. But actually it is nothing but gold. If you know gold, you know all modifications of gold. That Vedanta teaches. Atra eva atra drishtanto yajnah prak sammag irita gatakasha, mahakasha, jalakasha abrakhatmakaha 224. In order to demonstrate the truth of Advaita, we have cited the illustration of the akasha condition by a pot, the unlimited akasha. The akasha limited, reflected in water, and the akasha reflected in a cloud. In the very beginning, Vidyaranya, the author of this book, gave a beautiful analogy. You can visualize. Here is a jar, empty jar, empty jar. What do you see? A jar, inside is a space, outside a space, vast cosmic space. So we say that is ghata akasha, that is the akasha, jar akasha, akasha contained in the jar. But this space and the cosmic space, as both are the same, that he wants to tell you again and again. So in that jar, you now fill up the water. What do you see? Water. Water. On that water, you see the reflection, the moon, perhaps a star, you can watch at night time, or sun. What do you see? I see the reflection. That water. Akasha is pushed out, water occupies. What is that water? You, me, and Jivatma. And you see the reflection, that is Jivatma. That is called Jalakasha. And you see the vast cloud, that cloud is full of water. In that cloud, you can see rainbow and many various reflections. And vast cosmic space. So the Meghakasha, the space which is occupied by the cloud and the cosmic space, both are the same. He is trying to compare from the cosmic and the individual. God is cosmic. We are all individuals. Both are limited by those maya, upadhi. Listen, what is upadhi? Here is the crystal. You put a red hibiscus there. This crystal looks red. Green, blue, it will look blue. Yellow, it will look yellow. But this crystal does not have any color. Whatever you bring near the crystal, it takes that color. That is you. You are that pure consciousness, Brahman, God. But you are caught by a name and a form. I am Chetanananda. I have a name, I have a form. I am John. I have a name, I have a form. I am Mary. I have a name and a form. We are limiting the infinite with a name and form. That is happening to all of us. But our true nature is infinite. That Vedanta teaches. Why are you making yourself so small, little? experience this vastness. That is mukti, that is liberation. The limit means there were bondage. When you will be illumined, Vasudeva Kutumbakam, all human beings will be your relative. Your love will overflow in your heart. That means you are going to be that vast cosmic. That we find in illumined soul like Swami Vivekananda. He told in San Francisco to an American devotee, "Madam, I would have to be born again." "Why, Swamiji?" "I fell in love with human beings. I would have to be born again. I want to love them and serve them." That is the goal. That is the sign of an illumined soul. They have come to this world to love and serve. All this smallness, narrowness, bigotry, superstition will disappear. That Vedanta teaches. Jalabhra upadhiyo dinete jalakasho abhrakhe tvayo adharautu ghatakasho mahakasho sunirmalavu. 225. In the last two aspects of akasha, the conditioning adjuncts are the water and the cloud. But their basis, the akasha of the pot and the unlimited akasha, is pure and unaffected. Very simple, as I explained before. This water in the jar and the cloud in the upper space, these two are the upadhi, limiting the vast space. Do you know what Sri Ramakrishna once just told some devotees? Do you know how to meditate? Sometimes think that you are a jar and you are thrown into the ocean. Your inside is water, outside is water. But the jar is there. Your name and form is there, the jar, earthen jar. But inside is water, outside is water. That consciousness. Your inside is consciousness, outside is consciousness. Sri Ramakrishna says, try to meditate that way. I am that pure consciousness. My inside, outside, nothing but consciousness. This is the way one can imagine and make non-dualistic meditation. But akasha is pure, unlimited. The jar space and cosmic space. We said this is the chapel space, bookshop space, library space, kitchen space, dining nature space. Break this building. Destroy this building. Nothing but a space. But we are limiting. According to our room. According to our work and purpose. So we are limiting ourselves. With name and form. Evam anda vigyanamayu mayadhiyo vasau tad udhisthana kuchustha brahmanitu sunninmale. Beautiful verse. The sheath of bliss and the sheath of intellect have as their conditioning adjuncts maya and the modification of maya called buddhi respectively. But the basis of both is the one pure Atman which is immutable. What is Ishvara, God? Vedanta ji find maya upohito chaitanya. Consciousness associated with maya, cosmic maya, that is God. Brahman, when is endowed with maya, is called Ishvara, God. What is jiva? What are you? What I am? Do you know why? Who are you? Who are I? Buddha upahita chaitanya. Your buddhi, your intellect, when the Atman, the cosmos, Atman is reflecting everywhere. He's reflecting on the chair, on the floor, on your body, on your cloth, on the microphone, on the book, on the table. It is reflecting on your buddhi, your intellect. That is the finest aspect of the human system. Buddhi. Buddha upahita chaitanya. Consciousness reflected on the buddhi, intellect, is called jivatma. That is you, that is me. That Brahman is reflecting on your intellect, that Brahman reflecting on my intellect. That consciousness is unaffected. But the difference in buddhi, perhaps your buddhi, your intellect is better than me, or my intellect better than someone else. We see all difference of minds, difference of intellect, difference of body, but Atman is the same. Here is an earthen jar, here is a cup, here is a small spoon, all are filled with water. When the sun shines, we see all reflected sun. Some are big, some are small. That's all. Some are medium size. It is all reflection. That is called Abhashava. This only we are all reflected gods. That Vedanta teaches. We are all reflected gods. Sri Ramakrishna used to say, Panchabhuter phande, Brahma pore kande. Phand means trap. In the trap of the five elements, the infinite Brahman is crying within. What are these five elements? This whole creation came from five elements, the space, air, fire, water, and earth. Whatever you see in this world, nothing but five elements. Your body, my body, table, chair, house, trees, plants, nothing but five elements. When we die, where do they go? The body? They go back to their respective elements. Amazing. 150 pounds man, put it into a cremation place, you will get 10, 12 pounds of ashes. That's all. Where do they go? The remaining 140 pounds. They go to their respective places. Water, vapor goes up. Amazing, this human system. But Atman remains the same. Here is a jar. Sun is reflecting. This jar is broken. Gone. Bring another jar. Again, with water, again you will get reflection. That is the way birth and death. We are continuously reincarnating, and this will continue until we get illumination. When you will be illumined, no more coming and going. But we love to come and go. That is our problem. Most people do not want liberation. We love this world, Maya. Well, good Maya is good. So when Maya gives us trouble, you know, aches and pain, if you go to the nursing home, you will feel how old people, seeing them, we feel compassion, how they suffer. When we are young, we do not feel all those things, you know. Etat kaksho upajogeno sankha yogu matau yadi dehu annamayak shaktvat annamayak kakshatvat atmatvena abhupeyatam. 227. As steps to our doctrine we use as illustrations and doctrines of sankha and yoga, similarly we accept and make use of the doctrine of the sheath of food, though we do not mean that the food sheath is really to be identified with the Atman. Do you know what they are talking about? They are now talking about the Shankhya school, yoga school, and Vedanta school. These two schools, there are differences that he is trying to explain through this verse. First, Shankhya believes there are many jivas, souls are many souls. But Vedanta says, Atman is one, but Jivatma, individual souls are many. Shankar's people says, if John gets illumination, if you believe that one soul, if John gets illumination, then everybody will be illumined. That is not happening. So we believe there are differences. Each person is different, each soul is different. Vedanta does not believe that Atman can be many. Atman is always one. But Jivatma, individual soul. Individual soul, always remember, individual soul means consciousness associated with your intellect, with my intellect. This is called individual soul. I am individual, you are individual, each one is the individual. That Vedanta believes. But the Atman which reflected on your mind, my mind, that is one. That cannot be two. And they say, no, that also is two. The Shankhya philosophers believe. There is first difference. Second difference, Shankhya believes there are two infinites. Purusha and Prakriti. Prakriti is the nature. From Prakriti, the 24 principles come, which creates this whole universe. So 24 principles, 24 tattva, they are eternal. Vedanta says, no, there cannot be two eternal, two infinite. Infinite cannot be two. Why? One will limit the other. That is the way it goes. There cannot be two infinites. Infinite is always only one. That Vedanta says, and Shankhya says, no, this world is real. Vedanta says, no, the world is not real. They have their fight. And third, God is separate from Jeev Jagat. God is separate from Jeeva, individual soul, and the world, the manifested universe. That Shankhya says, Vedanta says, no, we are all one. God, try to understand this way. This is the cosmic consciousness. First manifestation is God, Ishvara, who creates, preserves, destroys. Then that Ishvara, God, creates this world through Maya. Without Maya, there cannot be any creation. We need duality. Now, otherwise, you cannot create. Sri Ramakrishna gave a beautiful illustration. Pure gold cannot make any jewelry. You have to add alloy. Gold is very soft. If you make alloy, then you can have a ring, a nose ring, ear ring, necklace. There is alloy there. 100% gold cannot make any jewelry. No way. So you must mix alloy. So truth and untruth must mix up. Otherwise, no creation is possible. If only pure things, you know what will happen to you? You will go into samadhi. You will be one with God consciousness, Brahman. You cannot function in this world. You cannot invest, you cannot work, you cannot eat, you cannot do anything. This oneness. Very difficult. That's what the reason I always make a joke. Whatever fun before God realization, after God realization, no fun. You will be one with God. The moment you realize God, you will be God. Brahmavid, Brahmai Bhavati, and what a Brahman becomes Brahman. You become absolute 100% pure gold. You cannot function. for the reason you'll have to create desire. Otherwise you cannot function in this world. Look how Sri Ramakrishna was creating desire. I shall eat bitter squash curry. I shall eat sweets. I shall smoke hubble bubble. I shall go and see such and such person. This is why he is creating desire, so that your mind will come to the lower plane. Otherwise, mind like a balloon, it will go up. If you have no desire, it will go up. Who is putting your mind down to the earth? Desires. But anyway, be careful. Create good desires. A heavy snow, I must go to Vedanta tonight. That's a good desire. Atma bhedo jagat sittam ishu vainna iti chetrayam tejyati iti tada sankhya yoga vedanta sammati hi. 228. The Vedantins will accept the doctrines of the followers of sankhya and yoga, provided they give up the doctrine of the existence of the distinction in Atman, the doctrine of the reality of the world, and the doctrine of Ishvara being a separate and special Purusha. Just now I explained to you that in the three places they have differences. Doctrine of Ishvara being separate from a special Purusha. Shankar does not believe in God. Patanjali believes. Patanjali says, I already explained in last class, who is God according to Patanjali? Purusha Vishesha. It's a special being who is Ishvara, who is free from afflictions, free from karma, free from the result of karma, free from impressions, samskaras. Look, you are born, I am born. Why? Why are you born? To fulfill my desires. I have unfulfilled desires in previous life. To fulfill the desires, I took this birth. You also. We are all, we have come to the world to fulfill our unfinished desires. But when Ishvara, like Avatar, Christ, Krishna, Ramakrishna, when they are born, do they have any karma or not? That is the question. Avatar does not have any karma. You see, if you want to come to this world, you will have to hold something. Otherwise, mind will not come to this world. So these divine beings, avatars, God, when they take human form, they have no karma. Then why do they come? Onukampartham. Out of compassion for human beings. These people are suffering, I must help. So they come and demonstrate the path of bliss, path of liberation. Look what Jesus says, sell whatever you have, then follow me. Follow me, follow me. So many times in the Bible we find great message of Jesus. Follow me. So if Vedanta says, if you in these three places we have differences, but if you want to come to my path, you will have to remove those differences. Then you will get the knowledge of oneness. Next verse, jivo asanga to matrena kritartho iti chetada srakchandanade nityatvam nityatva matrena api kritarthata. Shankas hold that for the jiva to achieve his object and be liberated, A knowledge of the eternal associationlessness of Atman is enough. We reply, Vedanta replies, that in their view he might just as well think that the pleasures which he obtained from flowers, sandalwood, and so forth are also eternal. Vedanta is cheesing. That individual soul, if you are free, best, I am glad that you feel that way, but your jacket, your cloth, your shoes, they are also eternal, always remember. Because that is the way they believe. This world is real. Then struck, your makeup, your garland, all those things are also real. According to Shankar, both Purusha and Prakriti are real and eternal. Prakriti means nature. Purusha means Brahman, consciousness. It may be argued that if by mere knowledge the jiva is unattached, absolution is secured, then there is no necessity of striving for the knowledge of non-duality. Well, I am Brahman, I am jiva, I am Brahman. So, let my home, my family, let it be there. They are eternal. So that he was talking about. No, for such freedom from attachment is not possible without the knowledge of non-duality. Ishvara, world, and self cannot be eternal at a time, for one will condition the other. So duality cannot be eternal or absolute. If they are fighting between dualism and non-dualism, Vedanta says, you are thinking that I am free. That freedom, at the same time, they think this world, my home, my family, all these things, they are real. But it doesn't work that way. E jagate srishto padartho maranshil. Whatever has been created is subject to destruction. Always remember. The body was created one day, this body will die one day. The chair was created one day, this chair will be destroyed one day. This building was created one day, this building will be destroyed one day. It may be 1,000 years, doesn't matter, but it will be destroyed. That is the way this world moves. It is always changing. Every day we are always changing. It is amazing. I remember we are talking about in Vedanta in the class. You bought a new piece of cloth. Just beautiful cloth. And keep it in your trunk. Akbarat, lock it. 70 years you don't open that trunk. 70 years. Then one day you open that trunk and try to touch that cloth, that cloth will be like papadam. It will fall apart. I have seen that Swamiji's turban, which he used at the Parliament of Religions in Chicago. That silk turban perhaps was made in 1890, that he used in 1893, and now after 100, perhaps 30 years, do you know what happened? That turban now is so brittle. The archaeological department of the government of India put the turban in a plastic container and covered it with some, they put some chemicals so that it will not deteriorate. It is a moisture is there, you see, in Calcutta, so much humidity, so that it will not give it tight, one air tight. But if you touch it, it will fall apart. I have some books, my goodness. If you touch it, it's just like papadam, it falls apart, breaks. I have some books, 100 years, 120, 30 years old books are in my room. Carefully I open those books. It will be old one day. All right, up to this thing tonight, up to 2:29. Om Satoma Sadgamayo, Tamasoma Jyotirgamayo, Mrittorma Amritam Gamayo, Abhiravirma Yedi, Rudrajate Dakshinamukam, Tinamam Pahi Nityam, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Lead us from the unreal to the real, lead us from darkness to light, lead us from death to immortality, light us through and through, and guide us evermore with the loving presence. Peace, peace, peace be to all.